It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. It's the time of year when presidential candidates try to avoid the mistakes of the past. Their vice presidential choices can improve their chances of winning and can also create big distractions. Consider 1952, when vice presidential candidate Richard Nixon was accused of dubious dealing. He went on TV to declare that the only gift he had personally accepted was a dog.
It was a little cocker spaniel dog, black and white, spotted. And our little girl, Tricia, the six-year-old, named it Checkers.
The Checkers speech saved Nixon. In 1988, Dan Quayle won the vice presidency despite being slammed for comparing his record to John F. Kennedy.
Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
It's Lloyd Benson slamming him. As we'll hear in a moment, there was an even bigger disaster on the Democratic side 36 years ago. We have two reports, starting with NPR's David Greene, who will look at Barack Obama's efforts.
Members of Barack Obama's vice presidential search committee have been busy. This week, they sat down with Democratic Senator Kent Conrad of North Dakota. Conrad said they were throwing out some names.
We discussed 15 to 20 people who are possibilities.
So clearly, Obama's list is still long. I wish I had time to go through all the possibilities, but we only have 4 minutes for this piece, so I found a solution. NPR political editor Ken Rudin put together a list of potential Democratic running mates. To read it, we called actor John Machida. He's famous for speed talking.
What about Hillary Clinton? She's strong among women and seniors and Latinos and blue-collar white voters, and she won Pennsylvania and Ohio and Kentucky and West Virginia. But when you pick her, you get Bill in the process, and that may be more trouble than it's worth. If Obama wanted to pick a woman, there's Kathleen Sebelius of Kansas, who's very popular in a Republican state, and Claire McCaskill of Missouri, who was for Obama before there was Obama. Caroline Kennedy is a Kennedy. Maria Shriver is a Shriver, a Schwarzenegger, and a Kennedy. Bill Richardson is the governor of New Mexico. He's Hispanic, and he has foreign policy experience, and he was in the UN, and he served in the cabinet, and he comes from a swing state in the West, but Ted Strickland is the governor of Ohio, which could bring along 20 electoral votes, but he says he won't take it. Ed Rendell is the governor of Pennsylvania, which could bring along 21 electoral votes, but he says he won't get the offer. There's also Jim Webb of Virginia. He's strong in defense, served in the Reagan administration, and could help win over some of those Republican voters. He comes from a state that hasn't voted for a Democrat for president since 1964. And what about a Republican? What about Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City? Is he too short? Is he too rich? Or is the porridge just right? What about Chuck Hagel, the senator from Nebraska? He served in Vietnam, and he hates Iraq, but is he too far right?
Okay, so Obama has some options, but don't ask the candidate for any hints.
The next time you hear from me about the vice presidential selection process will be when I have selected a vice president.
Of course, journalists have kept hounding Obama, especially about whether he'll choose Hillary Clinton. The Daily Show aired this roundup of what news anchors have been asking Obama.
Why not pick Senator Clinton?
In basketball terms, has she at minimum tried to jam you?
Does there have to be a yes or no on the issue of Hillary Clinton?
Can you see working with her, or does it just make you think, ugh?
So far, all Obama has said about choosing Clinton is this.
Obviously, she'd be on anybody's short list.
As Obama thinks about Clinton and all these names on his list, one of his goals is to avoid 1972. That's when Democratic nominee George McGovern called on Tom Eagleton.
Senator McGovern was on the phone, and he said, Tom, this is George McGovern. I did recognize his voice. And he said, Tom, I'd like you to be my running mate.
As it turned out, Eagleton had for years undergone electric shock therapy to treat depression. Unfortunately for the party, this came out after he was named to the ticket. And 2 weeks later, Eagleton announced,
I will write to the chairman of the Democratic Party withdrawing my candidacy.
That was an embarrassment for the party. Then there was 1984.
Ladies and gentlemen of the convention, my name is Geraldine Ferraro.
Ferraro was the first woman to run on a major party ticket. What the party didn't know until later is her husband had some dubious business dealings. Interestingly, the person who vetted Ferraro for Walter Mondale that year was Jim Johnson. He was doing the same job for Barack Obama until this week when he resigned amid reports about his own financial affairs. Back in 2000, Ron Klain helped do the VP vetting for Al Gore. Klain says there's too much focus on a running mate helping a candidate to win states or make up for weaknesses.
People think about this ticket balancing thing a lot more than the candidates do. I think candidates are really looking for someone who can help their overall cause in the campaign, who can be a good partner in governing, and who could be a good president if they had to step up to do that job.
Whatever Obama's thinking about, he doesn't have that much time since his primary race lasted so long. David Greene, NPR News, Washington.